Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. You're listening to The Watchman right here on the Omega Radio Network, and it is good to be with everyone. The word war is flying right now. There are so many wars going on with words as we speak. As a matter of fact, coming from Breitbart News, President Donald Trump reacted to the torrent of leaks emerging from former FBI Director James Comey's book, dismissing him as a, quote, weak and untruthful slime ball, and a, quote, proven leaker and liar. James Comey is a proven leaker and liar, the president wrote. Virtually everyone in Washington thought he should be fired for the terrible job he did until he was, in fact, fired. Trump said Comey should be prosecuted for leaking classified information. He leaked classified information for which he should be prosecuted, Donald Trump wrote. He lied to Congress under oath. He is a weak, untruthful slime ball who was, as time has proven, a terrible director of the FBI. Well, Trump criticized Comey's handling of Hillary Clinton's email investigations, which resulted in zero prosecutions despite her willingness to share classified information over her private email server. Here's what the president said. His handling of the crooked Hillary Clinton case and the events surrounding it will go down as one of the worst botched jobs of history, Trump wrote. It was my great honor to fire James Comey. Well, ABC News released the first clip of their exclusive interview with Comey on Friday, in which he detailed meetings with the president about the salacious dossier of fake accusations, including one about Trump with prostitutes in Russia. Comey admitted to George Stephanopoulos that he did not inform the president that the dossier had been financed by his political opponents. Stephanopoulos said this. Here's the conversation. Did you tell him that the Steele dossier had been financed by his political opponents? Comey. No, I didn't. I didn't think I used the term Steele dossier. I just talked to him about additional material. Stephanopoulos. But did he have a right to know that? Comey. That it had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. Well, the former FBI director described the meeting with Trump as really weird. It was almost an out-of-body experience for me, he said, describing himself as floating above myself, looking down at the conversation. Well, you know, President Trump, people have a hard time with the way he does things. But according to him, James Comey is a weak and untruthful slime ball. That's what you have. And again, these are the wars that are going on everywhere right now in the world. And you kind of expect it in hardcore politics. You expect it in the world. You expect it in Hollywood. You expect it in all these different places. But what happens when the word war turns inward within the ecclesia, when believers begin to get in agreement with the devil with accusation, slander, gossip, backbiting, and all these things? We are warned over and over again in Scripture about these word wars. These are spirits of accusation, spirits of gossip, rooted usually in terrible pride. And pride is the culprit behind slander, accusation, et cetera, et cetera. As a matter of fact, when we look at the Word of God, we go to a scripture in Revelation chapter 12, and let's take a look who's behind all this stuff. Well, Revelation 12:10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." Can't wait for that moment. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So the devil is the accuser. And the word accuser in the Greek is kategorio, kategorio. And that word means to bring before a judge, to make an accusation of an extrajudicial accusation, or to be a plaintiff, or to charge with some offense. And then you get into the deeper word here in the Greek, and it gets into kategoros. And kategoros simply means a name given to the devil by the rabbis. It's against one in the assembly. Okay, so it's against one in the assembly, a complaint at law, especially Satan, the accuser. Okay, so the devil brings his worst accusation, not against the world, but against the ecclesia, against the assembly of God, against the church of Jesus Christ. And so whenever we see in the house of God accusation, gossip, slander, well, there's a certain way to get in and to look at these things. I'll give you an example. We're told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, "When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of talking it or taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to your shame. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers." Wow. "Even to have such lawsuits with another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers." So here we have accusations, obviously go back to the church from the beginning of time, where people were still believing in the wisdom of men, and they would go to the princes and the rulers of the world. They would take it before the courts of man. And Paul was saying to the believers at Corinth and to all believers everywhere, why are you guys taking these disputes, these matters, to the eyes of the world? Why don't you deal with it from within? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a spirit. This is a spirit of accusation that is rooted in pride, and that's where you normally get into offense. Now, when we talk about getting into offenses, we know that that is going to be one of the earmarks, if you will, in the last days that many are going to be offended. And so we have to guard ourselves against this. And well, let's go to a little scripture. We'll go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, for example. And Jesus, in his discourse, as he's telling about the last days, I'll start in verse 29 or verse 9. This is Matthew 24, 9. He said, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted," speaking about Christians now, "and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then, because of this persecution, shall many be offended," okay, "and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Where does this begin? With the word offended, which is the Greek word scandalizo. And that's where we get our word scandal from. And the word scandalizo, when you break it down, it simply means to entrap or to trip up, to cause one to stumble or entice one to sin or apostasy or displeasure. So this is the word, again, scandalizo. And scandalon is down at the root. And again, scandalon is a trap. It is a snare. And so when Jesus said in Luke 21 that as a snare shall it come on the whole earth, he's really talking about a trap stick, a trap, a snare, which is offense. Okay? This is an offense, or causing one to stumble, to apostate, and to fall away. So the idea of slander, gossip, accusation is a very serious crime before the Lord. It is something that God says to of his people. Get back to Matthew chapter 18, for example. And if we go there, we're talking about if your brother offends you. You remember those scriptures. If your brother sins against you, him, go to him alone, right? And so let's take a look at that. And at chapter 18, I'm pretty sure, or is it Matthew 16? So let me get back over here. And it's a proper way of handling things, and it's the way that the Lord said to handle things. And so Matthew chapter, I think it's 16, 18. Let's see what it says there. Matthew 16, verse. No, that's not where we want to be. So I believe it's Matthew 18, maybe 16. I got the numbers backwards here. Let's see. So Matthew 18, okay, here it is, verse 15. So Matthew 18, 15, Jesus talking now. He's teaching, and he says, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." So in other words, bring a couple of people and let them hear your case, okay? "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." So here again, Jesus is giving a way for believers to deal with their differences and with their issues. Now, we're 2,000 years down the road here, and the global great tribulation is on the way. Persecution is coming. Jesus warns about offense in the last days, about people betraying one another, hating one another because they can't handle the level of persecution, or because of their own intrinsic pride, they become offended by something. And so rather than following the prescribed path by the great physician on how to deal with these issues, believers have been caught in one dispute after another. And all over the world, there are believers going to law against other believers. Lawsuits are flying everywhere. Everybody's threatening lawsuits. But very few, God bless those that do, are actually following the biblical mandate. And this is where it has always been concerning to me that so many people proclaim they're on their way to heaven. They're expecting the door to open, but yet they don't follow these prescribed pathways in how to deal with issues. And I have to believe that these are going to be the people that are going to say, Lord, Lord, open unto me. Didn't I do all these things in your name? Didn't I have a great program and a ministry? And didn't I cast out devils in your name and prophesy in your name and do all these wonderful works in your name? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. In other words, you and I never connected. I gave commandments. You didn't receive instruction. We have nothing in common. You could do anything you want in my name, but that does not afford you your ticket into heaven just because you started a big church and you did all these works. What unites you and I is your obedience to my word. And so when we live in a day and an age where people are just flying, you know, words of slander, accusation, gossip, bringing church believers before the eyes of the world because of whatever reason, well, this is a very troublesome thing. This is extremely troublesome. And, you know, there's a reason, obviously, why I'm talking about this on our program. And, you know, I'm all about letting the body of Christ be the judge. I'm all about that. And so I received an email last night, and it came from a gentleman who I knew many years ago. His name is Shannon Davis. And Shannon has a ministry called the Omega Man Ministry. He's Omega Man, okay? And Omega Man's been around since about 2008 or 9. I was doing radio from 2001, and I actually was on his program at one point. And he, this Omega Man, has sent me a number of emails recently that really were stunning to me. And I want to share them with you because I would like to get your input on it, quite frankly. So here was the first email from Omega Man. Now, he says, Vincent, it came to my attention today that you and Paul Petit have launched a website and show using my trademark, which has existed since I started Omega Man Radio Network in June of 2008. I have 8 years and 5,200 episodes and counting using my brand, Omega Man Radio Network. Why did you not choose an original name instead of trying to co-opt mine? Omega Man Radio is my trademark, and you need to cease and desist. There is no reason this has to be escalated, but if that is what if that is what is necessary and you want, I can activate an attorney. Actually, it is quite shameful, and while you are probably trying to build ratings, this is not the way to do it by using my show name and Richard Keltner's brand of Watchman Radio. Wow. So that was the first email I got, and I thought, well, this is really filled with a lot of accusation and assumption. Number one, here was my response. I wrote back to Shannon, and I said, hello, Shannon. May God's peace be upon you. I truly have not done anything that you suggested in this email. In fact, it was Paul Petit who, while in prayer, received an understanding of the Omega Radio Network. Trust me when I say Paul had no idea that you existed in your ministry. He's a newcomer to this type of work. I knew you existed as Omega Man Radio. We are Omega Radio. And I have seen lots of other ministries with the Omega symbol or name attached to their ministry. As far as thinking we are trying to build our ratings off of you, please know that is not the truth. It was never a consideration or thought. Everything we are doing is from scratch. We are not stealing symbols, names, or any other thing, and would never plagiarize another man's ministry. We are not of those who build on other man's foundation. I'm sorry this has caused you distress. However, we cannot cease and desist simply because this is the work that God has given us to do. I trust that your ministry will be unique and identified for who you are, and that you will allow us to continue to do what God has given us to do. Shalom, Pastor Vincent. Well, I waited around to see if there was going to be any further conversation, and sure enough, there was. And so I get back down to all of these, and it starts. Vincent, you are engaged in dilution of my brand, which is known as Omega Man Radio Network. You have known about it since its inception, as you were a guest on it in 2011. Omega Radio Network is clearly a knockoff of my show name and the 5,200 shows recorded and the network that produces live shows daily. I am giving you and Paul notice that if you do not cease using my name immediately, I will activate my attorney, Marty Schwimmer, and sue for damages and court costs entitled. Again, here we have, number one, an accusation that somehow the Omega Radio Network is stealing from Omega Man Radio. Now, I can understand where Shannon might be entertaining some thoughts. I didn't name this radio station. Paul Petit did while he was praying. God revealed to him the symbol, gave it to him. And we have launched, and I've been called a watchman since the 1980s, when our fellowship in California, we used to read Ezekiel chapter 33 every time we gathered together. We're a watchman ministry. And so just because there's the word Omega in here, Shannon is suggesting that we're building our radio station off of his name, which is, there's nothing further from the truth. Haven't even considered ratings, drawing from him, zero, nothing, not. So I wrote him back and said, let me see, my next one was, oh, geez. And so again, I said, again, Shannon, no one is doing what you're suggesting. We have every right to build our own internet radio station, and that is what we have done independent of you. I'm deeply saddened by your assumptions. And then he wrote back, you have a right to use New Wine Radio or any unique name you want to choose, but no right to infringe on my trademark, which is an existing name since 2009. This is why trademark law exists. And I said, we are not infringing upon your name. The name we have chosen, Omega Radio Network, is something that was given to Paul Petit in prayer. Shannon, you should know that the word of God says in Corinthians chapter 6, dare any of you having a cause or a case against his brother go to the courts of this land. You should know better than to threaten with lawsuits as a man of God. There are better ways to handle these things. I hope that you'll turn in the right direction and realize no one is trying to do you any harm. Well, he said, God gave me the name in 2009. He is not the author of confusion. Your website shows you both hosting the show, and I have given you fair notice. I will be serving both you and Paul shortly. And then I said, I agree. God is not the author of confusion. That's why he gave us the Omega Radio Network. He gave you Omega Man Radio Network. There is a difference. And that's where it left off. And I guess the surprising part of the whole conversation that began last night is I haven't seen Shannon Davis. I've never met the man. I've heard about him. I was on his broadcast, it's true, and I think I even interviewed him on our New Wine Radio at the time. And so when Paul was in prayer and received Omega Radio Network, and then Kyle, Paul, and I built this station, zero idea about infringement upon anything that he was doing. In fact, I knew that there was an Omega Man Radio, but I looked around and there's Omega Radios everywhere. And so I trusted that Paul saw something in prayer, that God gave it to us. My particular program every day is called The Watchman. That's because of who we are and what God has called us to do. And so because his friend Rich Keltner has a radio station out of New York called Watchman Radio, somehow there the accusation is that I've taken from them Omega and Watchman, and I was doing radio way before both of these guys were. And we have been called these things, and then the present Omega Radio. But here is the interesting thing to me, is if this man is a man of God, and he's on radio doing what he's doing, why the immediate threat and accusation of lawsuits? Completely and totally and contrary to the word of God. How does a man not see another man for 7 years or even hear of me, and we're going about our business, not thinking about anything out there, and all of a sudden, the very first email is a threat to activate a lawyer. How do you do that? How does that work? I happen to know pretty good. I've got friends with our congressmen, and I know some other folks that would be very clear about issues, that we're not infringing upon his trademark. We're not stealing anything from him. We're not building our ratings off of him. I get the feeling that, again, this is coming from a spirit of pride or fear that somehow our radio station must be doing really good because perhaps he's thinking that we're taking people from him, which is not the truth. Would never do that. And as a matter of fact, I've pretty much so easy that it would be very easy for me to shut down the entire radio station if I thought that's what God wanted me to do. But I'm watching somebody act out of a demonic spirit that is already contrary to the word of God. And so I've attempted in my responses and email to deal with the issue. But you see, this is the reality of Christianity today. I am so glad that I am born again and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because if I didn't, and I just kind of conducted myself on based on other Christians, I'd have left this gig a long time ago, because I've never been around more hateful people than Christians. And that is the sad truth. But the love of Christ and my personal relationship has always allowed me to go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, give my coat when I need to, along with my shirt. So, you know, I've learned that from a personal experience, but here we are. Again, accusations, lawsuits. Paul Petit hasn't even done a radio broadcast with me for over 6 months, almost 8 months, maybe even more than that. I've been flying solo because Paul has been promoted into being a news anchor. So all of these things coming from a Christian ministry, not, hey, Pastor Vince, can we talk a little bit? I want to share something with you. This is what's going on. None of that. Just cease and desist. Lawsuit is coming. And I'd like to know what you think about that. I'd love to know what the body of Christ thinks about that. And so I'm wide open, because that's what the Bible says to do. Take it to the church. So your thoughts. I'm going to take our first call this morning, coming in from Brother Bill out there driving his truck. How are you doing today, Bill? God bless you.
I'm doing good, Pat. I'm doing great, Pastor A. This whole thing here is kind of interesting. That Paul Petit fella that's on there with you, from everything I've heard you talk about him and how he led you to Christ by his demeanor and his character and everything like that, I'm going to have to trust that when you said Paul Petit was in prayer and he heard that from God, then that's the case. And what God has given you, no man's going to take away. And number two, I think that the gentleman that you're talking about, I think he's in error, because the Bible that I read says, God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So I think he's playing off of God's words, not you playing off of his. So I think he needs to change his thing from Omega Man, because we know that God is the Alpha and the Omega. See, so I think he's a little confused there. McDonald's restaurants, you know, McDonald's, everybody knows the sign, but I've seen McDonald's Farm and Home, okay? So does that mean McDonald's Farm and Home needs to change their name because they're infringing on McDonald's restaurants? And I know a driver out here that's got the Watchman on his truck, okay? So does that mean he has to take it off because the guy in New York has a show called The Watchman? Wow. I think the wrong spirit is leading this other guy. And personally, God has blessed your ministry with great favor. He's opened doors that nobody can close, and closed doors that nobody can open. And so, just sitting back looking at this, I'm thinking, you know, that my of course my first reaction, I don't want to say what that is because it wouldn't be appropriate. But the second response though is that. I think you need to leave it in the hands of God, because here's why. You're being led by the right spirit. Anybody that listens to you or knows you know that you're being led by the right spirit. And this guy is violating the principles and the laws that God has set forth and said, do not go down this road. So he's the one that will wind up being off radio here pretty soon. It's going to cost him. It's not going to cost you. God's going to take care of his own. That's just my two cents for it, Pastor. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And again, I go back to this understanding that what about what the Bible says? You know, what about the Bible that actually says if you have a problem with somebody, you go to that individual alone, you explain to them what the problem is. If your brother has offended you, or if you think your brother offended you or sinned against you, you go to him alone. And then there's a process of bringing the church involved. So, excuse me, what is this immediate, you know, the lawsuits, you know, why does it come that way through ministries that are you know, prevalent out there. I mean, if this has been going on and he's got 5,200 programs and he's got a trademark name for himself, Omega Radio, you know, why would Omega Radio or his is Omega Man, why would we be a problem to that? And so I've got to get behind the scenes and say, well, there's accusation coming here. And then I do a little bit further research and I realize that there are some other little forces that are operating behind the scenes, most likely. And folks, I got to tell you again, the war within Christianity, the gossip, the slander, the backbiting, the accusation that is running rampant is a spirit that is intended by the devil to divide and to bring to shame the name of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm looking for your wisdom, and I heard our first caller's wisdom. Bill gave his thoughts about things. But maybe you have something you'd like to share about it. We are the Omega Radio Network. We have been broadcasting for 1 year. We have about 8 different hosts that are hosting on this program. For 1 year, they have not been charged a penny. We have not received donations. There have been, I think, 1 or 2 people in over a year that have actually sewn into Omega Radio. And God bless those who did. But we built it. We invested in it. We're not charging people for it. We don't have commercials on it. We've given everybody an opportunity. So we're just doing what God told us to do. We built a platform. And would it be easy to shut it down and redo it under another name? It would take a lot more work, you know, because you're adjusting everything. And so what are your thoughts? Number to call is 818-369-0326. Would love to hear from you. Let's take our next call coming from area code 413. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have been with this ministry for over 15 years, and I keep going as you are led by the Spirit of God. I have watched you and Pastor Pat live out 1 Corinthians, seek not your own but another man's wealth. Both my husband and myself are recipients of that scripture, and I've seen you both give out of your lack. I have countless times. I mean, God knows. And, you know, and that the love of God would be shed abroad more in your heart towards this individual. And, you know, and the encouragement, I would tell everybody who's listening that you both are, it's not just 1 Corinthians 10:24. It's so much more than that, but you have encouraged and out of your lack on so many levels, and just keep going, led by the Spirit of God. And I do remember, I don't know where that scripture is, I do remember you sharing that long ago about where God says, don't take from another man's, I think you mentioned the scripture earlier in the program about
sure,
not
to build on a foundation, right?
Correct. And but the fruit that you bear in your life, to the glory of God, says contrary, and a tree shall be known by its fruit. So keep going and just be encouraged. And I would just encourage all those that know the true fruit that you bear to call in. Everybody call in. And that is, you know, as you're led by the Spirit of God. And so I'm so blessed that you both are my pastors. Keep going.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a beautiful phone call.
You're welcome.
And I want to go back to, you know, this 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because you have to put things in context, because there's a time when individuals would, you know, they're the ones that are offended and the ones that are going to court are the ones that the apostle's telling in context. Well, you need to suffer yourself to be wrong. Don't get offended and go to court. You need to suffer yourself to be wrong in these issues. And so the one as ourselves that are, you know, are not receiving it, but the accusations coming against the work that we're doing, it's not for us to consider ourselves to be wrong and to respond and you know, just shut things down. That responsibility is on those that are actually firing off and feeling offended, and there's the right way to do things. Let's take our next call this morning, coming in from our dear friends in South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kim.
Yes, you're being tested. It's a form of persecution, and it's very prevalent today in our country. And just hold your peace, and the Lord will fight your battles.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. So, okay, that's a word of knowledge I receive. I will hold my peace. But, you know, the thing that really strikes me, and this is where I love the conversation, it's not in defense of myself, but this is, and you just said it, this is so common in Christendom. And I want to get down to the nitty-gritty here and ask questions, you know, concerning salvation. Is an issue like this, for example, when somebody moves contrary to the instructions in the Word of God, when somebody's totally contrary and does the opposite or does not adhere to the instructions of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 18, when somebody does not do it God's way and they get involved in lawsuits and they entertain the spirit of – and yet they have big ministries – are these people saved, and are the people that are coming under their influence being affected by the spirit that's operating in them? You know, that's
okay.
That's what I want to know.
Well, here's my opinion. I've seen things through the years, and there's two factors involved. Number one, it's for self-adoration, to be exalted, and usually the second thing is if there's any financial gain involved, they usually take you to court.
Wow, interesting. Well, we don't have to worry about financial gain on this radio station right now. For a year, we have testimony about that. But whatever it is, it's a disobedience to the Word of God. Would this disqualify someone from being saved if they never repented?
Well, that's between God the Father and them, and it's very possible that you can be cut off according to the Bible and without remedy, and I don't know where that is with God Almighty.
But to love God is to obey Him. If you love me, you'll do what I say. And so Jesus said it, the Apostle Paul said it, and I think every one of us in every area of our lives need to make sure that we're obeying God, because in these last days, many will be offended. They will fall into the trap. Satan will use them to bring chaos and confusion to the body of Christ, where God wants harmony and peace within the members of the church. Could this issue be worked out if it was approached with a different spirit? Could there be coming to some understanding? Could there be some working out together? I am positive if people do things God's way, the best answers and the best results always come forward. You know, those are my thoughts about it. But thank you for giving your wisdom and your counsel. I appreciate it. And thank you very much, Kathy.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. God bless you. All right. So we're having a conversation here this morning about something that's kind of personal to the Omega Radio Network. But at the same time, you know, how does this affect the eternal outcome in a person's life? You know, it's kind of like, to me, unforgiveness. There I have people that I've met along the way as a Christian man, as a pastor, that I have literally watched say to other people, I will never forgive you. Now, I hope they changed their mind, because forgiveness is everything. You know that, and I know that. If we do not have forgiveness towards our enemies, if we don't have love towards our enemies, if we're not willing to forgive and to love and to give cold water to our hostile enemies, right? Well, are we even forgiven at that point? Are we saved at that point? Or are we just going through the motions of religion, carrying and harboring a bitter resentment within us and thinking that we're saved when, after all, we're really not saved. And so if you know somebody that has unforgiveness, bitterness, they harbor resentment because of something that was done, maybe they did get offended, maybe something happened and they just couldn't let it go, and they died in that condition, well, does that call for, biblically, scripturally, an exclusion from access or entrance into the kingdom of heaven? The number to call is 818-369-0326. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to hear from the wisdom of the body of Christ. And so far, we've had three calls, and they were good calls, and they were positive. And I believe that they are consistent with the Word of God. It's true. But maybe we've said enough. I definitely want to reach out a great big hello to all of our listeners in Africa. We met with Kyle yesterday, and Kyle informed us that our listenership in Africa is huge, that there are people throughout the continent of Africa that are listening, from Zimbabwe to Kenya to all over the continent of Africa, and we are getting a huge listening audience. And on our Facebook page, the Omega Radio Network Facebook page, we have over 300 likes already, and people that are just connected to this ministry. And they are also, what we're hearing is we have throughout the Middle East, people are tuned in. We've said this before, but talking to Kyle yesterday, he was kind of blown away at the numbers himself, that in the Middle East, going all the way into Syria and Jordan and Iran and Israel and other surrounding Middle Eastern nations. Then, of course, in Europe and Russia, we're being heard. But what blew me away was Syria, and with all the activity going on in Syria right now. So to all of the listeners out there in Africa, the Middle East, in European continent, South America also, as far as Venezuela, we're getting listeners. We just want to say God bless you. And you know, one day I would love to have these calls inundated with people from foreign nations, you know, speaking into, like Daniel Seckham does once a week, and letting us know what you're hearing or what we can do to pray for you, or how these radio broadcasts can be a strengthening to you. We always want to build out from the Word of God. We want to strengthen the body of Christ. We want to equip the body of Christ by declaring the things that we see. That's why we called the Watchmen on this program. But people are not just listening to the Watchmen. They're listening to Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. They're listening to Glenda Lomax, Pastor Ted Marshall, Bob Hagen. You know, they're listening to everybody that's on here, and which is really a very pleasant thing. Christopher Manti, Jake McCandless. These are men that are speaking a word of from the Word of God, preparing people. So the Omega Radio Network is doing a phenomenal work. God has blessed it. He really has. And then, of course, the people that are tuning in right now. Now, the only way that I know to know when people are listening is I go through Blog Talk Radio, because we're broadcasting right now on Blog Talk and Omega Radio. And I could see people that are caught listening by their telephone. But as far as iPads, iPods, other devices, you know, we just have no idea with the Omega Radio, the numbers of people that are tuned in. But we trust that people obviously are listening on their computers around the world. And this is what we knew, and God foreknew, that the gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth. And I think through the mechanism of the internet, that's how many people are going to hear. And so I want to salute our brothers and sisters. And I know you're going through much more. Many of you are going through much more tribulation and persecution than just having little issues like what we're talking about today. And yet they're serious issues, because they are biblical and they have eternal value and consequences. And so it's not just something we slough off, but at the same time, nobody's getting their heads chopped off here, and people are not being sold into the, you know, different enemy camps to, you know, undergo severe trial of affliction like the church has been going through for 2,000 years. But to our brothers and sisters around the world, God bless you. And we send you again greetings wherever you are. We're praying that God would strengthen you with all might according to his riches and glory, and that he will bring a great blessing to your soul in these days that we are living in. The day is coming, dear friends, that we are going to hear the bells ringing all over the world. And I want to encourage our listeners today with a prophetic word that was written in 2005. And the voice of the Spirit cries unto the children of men, declaring the day of Jubilee. I see the church bells ringing throughout the earth. I see a people dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ ringing their bells of liberty. This is what the sovereign Lord says to all. This is my day, and I will share it with my own. Those who have been faithful unto me shall reap the rewards of righteousness in this hour. For the time has come for the sounding of the bells within the realm of my spirit. The sounds of the bells are the rejoicing of the saints, and this sound shall be to the world systems and the powers of darkness a sound of war and alarm. The joyful sound that rings from around the world shall be a sign to the nations, every tribe, tongue, and culture, that hope has come. Yes, the joyful praise and worship that resounds like a vibration throughout the earth, from Germany to the Americas and into Europe and Asia, and will reach to the islands and the mainlands of every continent, shall be a sign of freedom and a finished work within my people, says the Lord. But for the world systems, it shall sound as a devastation and destruction. The powers of darkness shall be shaken by the sound of rejoicing and joy that is coming through an overcoming remnant in the earth. Yes, the heavens shall shake and the earth shall quake as the jubilant, militant, and triumphant church begins to sound. Is this not the third day? Is this not the seventh day? Have I not revealed this mystery to my own? I said it is finished 2,000 years ago, and now the execution, manifestation, and completion of that word has come. This is the seventh day, and I am resting once again, says the Lord, and I will no longer strive with the nature of a fallen beast, but will reveal my glory within a people who have picked up their crosses and followed me. I will allow their witness to be my testimony in the earth. I will reveal my true identity through a crucified people who have cast off the works of darkness and put on Christ. I will reveal my true nature within a people who have put off the old man, who was corrupt and steeped in darkness, and have put on the divine nature, which has enabled them to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, I have reserved unto me a remnant that has not bowed the knee to the image of Satan. And through this remnant, I am sounding my jubilee trumpet as they gather together and offer up to me praise and worship from within their innermost beings. Truly, I say to you that their voices shall become one as they continue to reverberate the joyful sound in the midst of anxiety, fear, disillusionment, and darkness. Their sound shall turn into light, and that light shall pierce the darkness and cause those who are trapped in darkness to come out into the liberty of my new day. I will slay the beast with the breath of my mouth, says the Lord, and I will consume his kingdom in a moment. My saints shall take away the dominions of fear and torment as their love shall permeate the atmosphere. I will cause the strong delusion that descended upon the mind of Adam to be removed in a moment that the truth may be seen, and this truth shall cause the bowing of every knee and the confession of every tongue to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. The earth will receive the glory of the Lord, and the streets of the nations shall be filled with the knowledge of my glory. Yes, the bells are ringing in the spirit, and they shall begin to ring once again in the earth. I saw empty church buildings from millenniums ago, once again filled with the people of the Most High God. I saw the bells at the tops of towers ringing throughout the earth. I saw the ringing bells signaling to one another across the world, and the whole earth was ringing because of the sound of the bells. It says in Exodus chapter 28, verses 3 and 4, and beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, twice it says it, upon the hem of the robe round about. And then Exodus 39:25, and they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates. And then Zechariah 14:20, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. The golden bells of holiness ringing throughout the earth. Yes, through the golden vessels shall the holiness of the Lord be seen and heard. You are the golden bells in the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you this day, let your bells ring. The sound of the bells is a joyful sound, a triumphant sound, and a most glorious sound of praise unto the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, somebody. That is a witness. Man, does that just bear witness that one day this earth is going to resound with the sound of the joy of the Lord through a many-membered body of Christ all over the world. Ladies and gentlemen, do not let the joy of the Lord be stolen from you. Let no man steal your crown. Do not sell your birthright for a bowl of beans like Esau. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Do whatever God tells you to do. Be like the Apostle John. Lean your ear upon his breast at the Last Supper. Hear the heartbeat of the Master and obey his voice. Let every other work in ministry be secondary to the primary need of every one of us, which is to hear his voice and obey. Do what the Word of God says to do. Work out, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I believe right now the prophetic Word of God to every true believer is draw very close to Jesus, because He's the one that's going to fight our battles. He's the one that's going to stand in the gap for us. When we honor Him, when we please Him, when we obey Him, He is going to honor those who honor Him. He is going to stand in the gap as our intercessor. He is going to fight our battles, as we heard earlier today. And I do believe that there are many battles that are coming, because that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit of accusation, is going to get more vicious in the last days, because the dragon knows he has but a very short time. I'm telling you, shake yourself from the dust, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the poor people in this earth that are rich in faith toward God, your day of governing the nations is upon you. So let your heart rejoice. Be glad even at the loss of your loved ones who died in Christ. Do not be like the world that has no hope. Know that you'll see them in the resurrection. The Sadducees said in their day, there is no angel, there is no spirit, there is no resurrection. The Pharisees said, there is a resurrection. They battled between them religious forces. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And God rolls away the tombs and death is defeated. I have the keys of hell and death. So ladies and gentlemen, get up and serve the Lord today. And if you are dealing with demonic spirits, if you are dealing with warfare and you need help, you call for prayer. We will pray for you. My wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, has written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I'm finding out, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. I'm going to take it a step further. I was at a conference back in March where over five people that are connected to the Omega Radio Network, and I'm not saying that they did anything on purpose, but here's how the devil is. Five people were on front stage that had an opportunity to tell hundreds of people about the Omega Radio Network. Not one of them even mentioned the Omega Radio Network. And I don't blame them. I just believe that the devil is doing everything in his power to block this ministry and the ministries that are on the Omega Radio Network. You know, you don't get into a counseling meeting, you don't stand before hundreds of people and have a program on a radio station and not tell anybody. And yet when I asked about it, they just, oh, I never thought about that. So I believe the devil's doing everything in his power to stop this work. Get the word out there wherever you go about the Omega Radio Network. Tell people that this is a God-ordained, God-breathed ministry, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everybody will have opportunity to hear something that will benefit their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing moment. And yet we hold all things loosely. Believe me when I tell you, we hold all things loosely. We possess nothing. We have been given all things, but we possess nothing. Nothing of this world is worth holding on to so tightly that it would cause us our soul. Nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, may this be our truth, our testimony that God has blessed us. We have all good things. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. We're a blessed people. And yet, let us make sure that with the blessings we have, we continue to reach out to others that are less fortunate. Let's share what we can, and let's preach the gospel. Because I don't know anything more important than some person over in the continent of Africa that may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. To share with men and women around the world of a loving God, a loving Savior who demonstrated his love on the cross, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, that regardless of how we came into the world, that we have an eternal hope, that this world is temporary, this time on earth is temporary, and it goes like a shooting star. It's like a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. The years fly by. But what is before us is where our hope is anchored in heaven. So get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Know the love of God. Know that God is a God of love, that he's the creator of the universe, and he's a good God, and he's reaching out to you to be born again, to be saved, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then only God knows what kind of destiny you have right here, right now, on this earth, to do some things that perhaps you never dreamed that you would do. We're down to about 4 minutes in our program. The number to call is 818-369-0326. If you have any final comments about today's broadcast, we're welcome in your voice to come on in. If not, what I'm going to do is go to a quick little break. And when we come back, Patricia Joy Xavier will continue on instructing the body of Christ about the intrinsic war that is going on in the soul of man. If you have not yet come to an end of that inward spiritual battle, if you're still wrestling between the flesh and the spirit, if there are still carnal thoughts and ideas, bombardments of the enemy upon your soul, you need to stay tuned and listen in and let the anointing break that yoke. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We'll be talking to you again on Monday. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier. Then, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everyone could be listening to the Omega Radio Network. I'll be back. God bless you. Thank you for your input today. Shalom.
Hello, hello. Well, we heard an incredible prophecy. I mean, it is amazing to me that the Lord gave those prophecies to Pastor Vincent Xavier 15 years ago, 12, sometimes 20. And here we are listening, and everything that is being said is for this moment in time. You know, we often wonder why we hear prophetic words and yet we don't see them happening. God has his timing. God has his timing in prophetic words. And so we have to learn to wait upon him, because things turn and change according to his will. And when he decides it's time to have that particular prophecy fulfilled, by golly, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be fulfilled. But it's a thrilling thing to be able to hear all of these wonderful things being mentioned. It builds and encourages us at the times we're in. And these times are so diabolical that we need to hear everything that is necessary, that worry our spirits are not neglected, but built up. And we are going to stand strong, body of Christ. We are going to stand strong to whatever takes place on the face of this earth. And I know that heaven is coming. Heaven is being loosed. Portals are being opened. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was spoken and prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago now. And he said, these are the last days. And again, it's all in the timing of the Lord. It is not in our timing. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And we are going to continue to understand the work of the enemy, because without knowing the wiles of the enemy, we will be deceived and we will be turned away. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, many loves will wax cold and many, many will be offended. And I'm seeing it already. I'm seeing it take place. But you know, it's necessary to take place, because he's dividing the sheep from the goat. And that is the ways and means that it will take place. That is the way it's going to be revealed to his true church. And the church cannot neglect to understand the workings of Satan right now, because it'll be his work that'll do that very thing. He will come to bring an offense through accusation by the hearing of your ear. You will hear and you will be brought into certain thoughts, and those thoughts will grow. And when they grow, they will be a snatch to your soul. So you have to be very careful not to be offended, and you have to be very careful to keep your love regardless of the circumstances. How do you do it? We're human beings, right? No, we are superhuman beings. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us if we ask the Holy Spirit to do so. It is a person. The Holy Spirit is a personage and will be there for us, our paraclete, our helper in times of trouble. And you know, the enemy would come back over and over and over again to speak to us about what so-and-so said, or how they did what they did against us personally, and build that resentment and offense. And many will be offended. And then there's another problem. We cannot cause an offense to anyone. If we do, we're going to have to stand before God with that. He says that all must forgive and all must be forgiven. It goes both ways. For them to be forgiven, for you and I to be forgiven, we must forgive. Well, let me tell you something. When you're offended, it's hard to forgive, isn't it? But this is the way we're going to work. We are going to move by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And, you know, as soon as I say this, testing will come, of course. The Holy Spirit has been given unto us to help and enable us to prepare properly for his coming. This is why we're going through all of what we're going through, but it's only the beginning. If you think it's tough now, wait. But we're being prepared. And isn't that the most wonderful part of it? We are being prepared. We are in the classrooms of heaven. We're starting to understand the depths of our own soul, so we cannot be ensnared by the work of Satan through deceit and accusation and lies. So he's coming, and he may find us without sin, without spot and wrinkle. And if he does, you are his bride. for eternity, not just for this short time that we're out here on this earth alive, but for eternity. And this is the only time he said he will return for his bride. It hasn't been earlier. It hasn't been in any other time frame. This is the time where he says, I will return for my bride. Now, we have to see this as Jesus Christ being our husband. Now, I know that that's difficult at times, but he is. He is our absolute covering. He shed his blood for you and I. He paid a dear price for you and I. He purchased us. He's ready to marry us. He's betrothed to us. But if we want to receive him, we must be prepared. And the work that Pastor Vincent Xavier on Omega Radio and others on Omega Radio Station is doing is bringing forth preparation to you and I all over the world and people all over the world. We are in a state of preparation. And that is why we're hearing some of the things that we have not heard before, because the scriptures tell us that in the last days, in the book of Daniel, he is going to reveal mysteries. And mysteries are being revealed. The way and the hows that things are coming about, around and about is being revealed. And Jesus Christ will be our husband. And he is completing the initial work that he started in us, in you and I. And there is nothing more for him to do. He's done it. He's fulfilled all the promises. You know, Christ is going to present to himself a glorious church, one that is undefiled. That's the scriptures. That's the word of God. And that bride, you and I, hopefully the bride of Christ, is that glorious church. It hasn't been too glorious, has it? It has at times. In the beginning, but now it's going to be the former and latter rain. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out more now than in the beginning, but it's going to mesh together into a bonfire of deliverance. And however, we want just not to be deceived and believe that we can do whatever we want to do because we once walked up to an altar and raised our hands and said, yes, Jesus, here I am. I receive you into my heart. Many have done that, but have fallen back. This is a continuous walk of sanctification unto glorification. We start by being justified, and we're justified by our faith. There is no other way to be justified. We can't be justified by our good works. We could go out there and do the greatest works mankind has ever known, but we cannot be justified by that. We could only be justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now we have come in to the kingdom and we begin the work of sanctification, consecration unto him, sanctification to our souls. Remember that our souls? We talked about that often. The soul has to be totally cleansed of every debris, sin, generational bloodline curse, familiar spirits of the past, your mom, dad, uncles, all your experiences, and become ready and prepared for the marriage. We must also become Christ-like in our actions and repent from all sin as it is revealed to us, because Jesus is not going to come for a bride that has sin. We have to be like him, transformed into his image. That's where the marriage takes place, being transformed in his image without spot and wrinkle, sin. And the bride, the church, represents you and I. And to my knowledge, nowhere in the word is it a custom for the husband to prepare for the bride before marriage. It is the bride who has to prepare herself before marriage. We have a marriage ready to be fulfilled right here in our church. And she needs to get herself prepared. She needs to get her dress She needs to become responsible for the things that she's going to do on her part, and she will be prepared for her husband. Same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has completed the initial work, and there's nothing more for him to do. Body of Christ, it's up to us now. It's up to us. He has laid all the foundation for the marriage in the preparation for us to go forth and overcome sin. Can you imagine this wonderful, glorious Christ, Jesus, ready to receive his bride, and he has his hand out to her, but you look at his bride, and her dress has stains and marks and rips and is wrinkled and spots, and her crown or her veil is tilted to the left and she looks a wreck. He's not going to want to marry that. He's going to want to marry a bride without spot and wrinkle, beautiful, ready for the day of marriage. He gave his life for his bride on the cross for the redemption of all who will come to the cross. So we're going to go forth, get ourselves ready, and clean ourselves by the washing of his precious blood that was shed and the cleansing of the word of God. And this will then present through our obedience a bride without spot or wrinkle. You ready to be that beautiful? Well, certainly you're going to be. It is necessary for us to be that way. The church, the glorious church, has not been represented properly. They have been trespassing against God in many ways, not even realizing it, not even knowing it. In some cases, it's been a beautiful work. But they are so few, so absolutely few. And we are the sheep. And with that, we have to begin to understand that the sheep grow up. They come as lambs and they grow up into sheep, but not blind sheep. Sheep that understand their calling. The heavenly realm is here for us. So whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If we call forth the heavenly realm, come and help me, Holy Spirit, move in me mightily, he will do it. But we must honor our Father, honor the Son, honor the Holy Spirit. Today we do not hear about the washing and the cleaning and the cleansing part of our walk. We preached enough from the pulpit in truth and power. It needs to be preached more. It needs to be preached in every church. It needs to be explained that we could walk without spot and wrinkle, that we could overcome sin. We are to consider ourselves in Romans 6 to be dead to sin, that it doesn't even exist in our lives any longer. And when it tries to raise its ugly head, we just say, we're dead to you. We're dead to that spirit, dead to that spirit that wanted to cause me an offense, dead to that spirit that wanted to cause me to get so angry I went to sleep with that anger in my soul, and the next morning I was defiled with it because I couldn't put it down. Now, we're going to rise up against the sin of gossip about others, causing a defect in their lives by fortifying it through our mouths. The Bible tells us that the tongue is a fiery dart, and that fiery dart is out of hell, Satan himself. And if your shield is not up, the shield of faith, you're going to get that dart right in your heart. Today, we're going to learn to walk circumspectively. Today, we do not hear enough, as I said, about the washing and the cleansing part of our walk. It is not preached enough from the pulpit. And it has to be preached in truth and power. That's why it's important for the minister himself to be cleansed, not involved in pornography or falling to another woman's seduction because he is counseling her, or falling for the desire of money because the church is giving and giving and giving, and it becomes a habit for him. There are so many entrapments by Satan for those in the pulpit. It's sad, it's sickening, but it takes men of strength and the power of the Holy Spirit within their lives to stand. And some of them sound excellent. Some of them sound wonderful and teach well. But in their hearts, they have sinned. How are they going to teach us in truth and in power? However, that does not make it any less an absolute necessity for the bride to prepare herself for the marriage. We all have the Word of God, and we could minister to others that Word, and we could be cleansed ourselves by that Word. So we don't have to truly depend on other men and women. We depend on the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, too long we have been given, and frankly, we have sought after those things that tickle our ears because it makes it easy to be a Christian. Not that which would enable us to overcome anything. Just, you receive Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient for you. It matters not if you sin, because if you do, it's covered. And the person never, ever considers himself dead to sin, because he is taught in many places that he is going to have to sin always. After all, he's a human being. He's going to sin. No, God's making superhuman beings. We had enough of regular human beings. He's making supermen, superwomen, if you want to use that terminology, because that is what he desires. He died that we may be super. It won't be ourselves. It can't be. We don't have it to do it with. We don't have what it takes as human beings without the Holy Spirit to make it work. But we become superhuman with the Holy Spirit. And we can't go to churches that tickle our ears. If you're in a church that tickles your ears and just gives you all of the niceties of what a Christian is and how wonderful you are because you've come to the Lord, but you have not overcome a thing in your life and you're not being persuaded to, that is of a sin nature, get out. Go somewhere where there is a call for repentance for the things that you have been doing that you know are wrong, but you continue to do them because of the weakness of your soul and heart and mind. We have to hear the meat of the word at this time. We can't hear a watered-down gospel anymore. We have to hear the meat of the word. And it is a tough word, body of Christ, but one with great power when we are given it and receive it through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is at work to bring us revelation of the mystery of the Word of God, the depths and the truth of His Word that never ends in by the way, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper as you walk this walk. Deep calls to deep, and you're coming into realms that are so rich, so incredibly rich with truth, it boggles the imagination. It's a glorious time, and it'll build your faith up for all those things that are on the earth right now and more that are coming, where you will not be walking in fear, but you will be walking in absolute faith, power, truth, and the glory of God. And others will be afraid. Bible tells us that men's hearts will fail them for what they see coming upon the earth. Fail them. Not only through the fear of what they see coming upon the earth, but through epidemics and plagues of sickness and disease where their hearts can't take it. There's so much that is here now and starting to manifest in greater power of evil. You know, in the book of Revelation, we are told that there will be but a remnant who will enter into the marriage feast with the Lamb of God. The question must be asked, do you want to be counted among this remnant? You don't have to be, but you're here now. You're living at the time where he will have one. He'll call it from the north, south, east, and west of this world, the remnant people. They will be gathered together as his elect when he comes. And they will be in touch. And I believe he's going to use this particular method to do so through the airwaves of Omega Radio Station and other great stations that are ministering the word of God and truth. Rick Wiles is one of them. Truth is being spoken out of his mouth, and now he's ready to go to Washington, D.C. They have asked him to come and to minister to those that are of the government that want the truth. Trump and his group have asked that. So you see, if you don't believe in what you see with Trump right now, don't be dismayed, because he's called for a time such as this. He is called that the things we see coming upon the earth will be in line with the word of God for the necessity of the coming of Jesus Christ. So he's being used by God. When it doesn't look right, you don't know all things. You're only hearing what you're hearing on TV or through your online, on computer, Facebook, whatever the means is, technology. But you don't know what is true and what is not true unless you have acute discernment to understand the difference, and it could only come to you by the Holy Spirit. We are at a time where we need to be together in one way or another. And as you heard Pastor Vincent say, people are listening all over the world, especially Africa, but also in the East, where these things are coming about now for war. Syria, Damascus, Turkey, Iran, Russia. This is all named in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 38. It uses the old names that used to be thousands of years ago, but all you have to do is translate online what those names are, and you'll find that they are the same names that are rising up now for war. And they're going to surround Israel, and Damascus is going to be demolished for the very first time in history. From the very beginning, Damascus, the name Damascus has not been changed. It has remained a city since Genesis, and it never has been destroyed. But at this time, it will be totally and completely destroyed. It is a mark of the timing we're in. In 1982, my husband and I went to a church in Escondido, California. And at that church, there was an elder. Before church started, he would come out to talk to us, and sometimes after church was ended. He wanted us to know what he knew about Syria. Now, folks, this is in 1982. He would point to the scripture and say, "See this? In the last days, there will be a war in Syria. We will go to war with Syria." And he says, "This will mark the time of the end, the last days." Now, in 1982, Syria was doing okay. I think she was an ally with us. There were other times Syria had difficulties in the past. But he pointed out one thing. He said Damascus will be totally and completely destroyed, demolished, finished. The oldest city in the world. There will be such a war that will break out. Now, Damascus has been standing till this very day. Since Genesis, the book of Genesis, you're talking 5,000 years ago, and in some cases, six. So I want you to see something. He would come out and tell us this constantly, to the point where my husband and I used to say, maybe we could go around the back and he won't see us and we won't have to listen to this again. But it was pointed out to me the other night at a Bible study through Darlene Chariego that the reason we were hearing this was because we would know without a doubt when the day it happens that the end was at hand. And now Syria is being spoken of and there's been much demolish in Damascus. Take a picture. Take a look at it. Type in Damascus and just take a look at it. It's sad. It'll break your heart. But these nations, in Ezekiel 38, Iran, Russia, the end will be China, but it's not yet. Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine. These nations will come against Israel and surround her. It's already happening, folks. We're already there. I want to know something. We need your help. Will you help us to reach every nation on this earth? We're doing it. We are. We are already touching multitudes of nations, even the Far East, the names of the countries I just mentioned, and Africa, and some of Europe. We want to reach and continue to reach. Every nation matters. And the time is short, body of Christ. Jesus said that before he returns, the good news about the kingdom and the message of salvation should be preached throughout the world and to motivate everyone. Let me ask you, have you gone out as a mission, on the mission field, as a missionary? Have you? Have you done what has been required of you, the Great Commission? He told the apostles to do the same, to tell them everything they've been taught, to go throughout the world and do so. Have you done this? If you haven't, you're going to have to stand before the Lord with this. But if you help us, you do it through us, so we could continue to touch multitudes of people all over the world. If you would send a donation, and I know you're hearing this all the time, but it's true. It takes money to do it. For a donation of $20, we will send you my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I'm going to do it to help you break strongholds and the power of the devil. The reviews from this book has been exceptional. If you would send a gift to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Arkansas, A-R, 72722. Again, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Arkansas, 72722. We need your prayers and support. And thank you. And God bless you for listening. And all those that are listening all over the world, may God give you divine wisdom on how to walk this very incredible walk in this very narrow path. You are unusual. And God has called you to hear. And to listen, please do that very thing. And please be sore blessed in all that you put your hand to. Make sure you overcome that sin nature in your life. It will a wonderful, glorious experience for you. And remember, you have the Holy Spirit to do so. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.